General Albert Pike, Grand Commander, Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry, giving instructions to the 23 Supreme Councils of the world, said as follows in a speech: "We say this, and you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be by all of us initiates of the high degrees maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the God of the Christians, whose deeds prove cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism, and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately, Adonai is also God. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil." Welcome to the Tin Foil Hat Club. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ben.
And thank you for joining us yet again. Well, Ben, we've decided this week to we're gonna go some places that might shock our audience a little bit, because they're gonna find out a little something about my history that they may not be aware of.
Yeah.
So before we get to that, there's your teaser.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, we're going to talk about some things that are obviously going on in the news, given our previous episodes. So for everybody that's been paying attention, we'll start off with: there is no update on the red heifer front. So on your heifer watch 2024, there is no new information.
No, there's none. That's sad.
Yeah, it's going to happen. We keep saying this: you don't go do all these things without, and they're going to do it. Just a matter of time. The next date of possibility will be a couple days after the eclipse. I think the 10th is a holiday there. I forget the exact holiday. And then obviously the 22nd is Passover, yeah, which is what originally everybody suspected they might do. But man, it sure seems like they've got everything ready to go.
Yeah.
Just a matter of time. So we'll keep our eyes on the news and just see what's going on. You guys will too. And the minute it happens, we'll talk about it, because it's just a matter of time. The other thing that we've talked about are these crazy earthquakes that have happened.
Wow.
Man, that's just nutty.
Yeah.
So this really started with when we brought Joe on, and he talked about the solar alignment and all these things. And I think it really comes to a peak in October is what he was saying.
October 13th.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a Friday.
I can look real quick.
Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. But what we had talked about during that episode, and that was the Tree of Life alignment, I believe is the episode title. And what we talked about there is the planetary alignment that's occurring right now and started a few days ago has been known to in the past, as has solar activity. This has been something that has been known, and they have correlated an increase in seismic and volcanic activity based on both of these things. And we have them both going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, here we go. A couple days ago, we have Taiwan that everybody's probably heard and seen that had a 7.4 earthquake, and then multiple aftershocks, obviously, anytime you have a big earthquake like that. And then a few days later, Japan has a 6.0 earthquake, yeah, off the coast. Now, granted, both of those areas are known for seismic activity, so not completely unheard of, but timing-wise is sure awful coincidental.
Yeah.
But the one that happened the other day should get everybody's attention and really raise some eyebrows. We had a 4.8, almost a 5 magnitude earthquake in New Jersey.
Yeah. Don't you hate being right?
Ben, can you count on no hands how many times in our lives that we've heard of the words earthquake and New Jersey put together in the same sentence? I can't remember anything either. I'm sure they've had some, but that to that magnitude.
Yeah.
They do sit on some fault lines up there, but they said those fault lines haven't been active in quote unquote millions of years.
Millions of years.
And take that. That's a whole nother show. We won't go there,
but
a long time.
But I hate being right, don't you?
You know, Ben, it's sure. And not saying we're going to be, you know, but boy,
we have been saying it's not looking bad. We've been saying, keep your eye on the sky,
ear
to the ground.
I'm telling you what, pay attention, folks, because if this goes the way we think it's going, and it sure is interesting.
Yeah.
There's a great photo the other day that somebody snapped to of lightning hitting the Statue of Liberty. Now, I will say, disclaimer, the Statue of Liberty because of its height, and it's out there on its own and what it's made of. And it does get hit multiple times a year by lightning. But that was a heck of an image.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, 4.8 earthquake in New Jersey is an anomaly.
Yeah.
To say the least.
And I haven't heard if there's damage or stuff. I don't know.
They had some strong, like you have a 4.8 earthquake too. You have aftershocks, right? You get to a certain point and you start having, they've had some other four aftershocks.
Yeah.
At 4.0.
And that'd be scary.
Yeah, man. If you're from New Jersey, like I can tell you, we've had earthquakes here in Indiana, very small. I don't think we've ever had a 4.
No.
Maybe a 2 or 3 here and there. And I don't remember any of those. I was in a car or I slept through it or whatever. I don't remember any of those. But this old boy was on a cruise and he was in, where were we? Grand Cayman.
Okay.
We were in Grand Cayman and there was an earthquake because Grand Cayman actually sits right on the fault line.
Yeah.
And there was an earthquake several hundred miles away over closer towards Jamaica. And it was huge. It was like a 7 something. And I felt that. And I knew what it was, even being a Midwestern boy that never had really felt an earthquake before. It got my attention.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, everybody on that island was freaking out because you have a 7-point whatever earthquake out in the ocean. And everybody starts to think tsunami, right?
Yeah.
They had a tsunami warning for the one that happened off Japan. But I don't think anything came of it.
Yeah.
And obviously we know what can happen. We watched the Indian Ocean tsunami, the earthquake out there killed how many 100,000 people or whatever. And then we had the other one a couple of years ago that happened in Japan that hit Fukushima and all those and melted down the nuclear power plant and everything else. And
that's it. Yeah, it's crazy.
Tell you what, man. We've referenced Matthew 24 over and over again, but I tell you what, the one I've started to even lean into more is Matthew 21 because it talks about the sound and surge of the sea. Everybody will be in awe at the sound and surge of the sea.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, we have postulated, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we're saying it's crazy that it could happen is if we have where the intersection points of these last three eclipses are, we have one that's going over the New Madrid. This one here particularly is actually going over 2 fault lines. It's going over the one down in Texas. I can never remember the name of that off the top of my head. That's a fault line down there. That's fairly large. It's by Austin, Dallas area, San Antonio, that whole run right there. And then the one obviously in New Madrid. This eclipse that's coming on the 8th is actually going right over those two areas.
I was watching a video of a guy talking about earthquakes during Noah's flood, how it worked. It's pretty amazing. He said that they would opened up like pretty much just all of the geysers just blew up the tops.
Oh yeah.
And it freed all this silt and everything as the water was just rushing up to flood the earth.
Mm.
And he said, that's how you create more land and stuff and created a new ocean floor.
Mm.
He goes, if you look at a map, you can see where the water slowly receded.
Interesting.
He compared the fault lines like stitches on a baseball.
Yeah. You're just ripping the seams.
Yeah. And with the discovery, the crest of the year.
Yeah. So if you go to our Facebook group page or our page, either one, we have a regular page and we have a group page. You can find us either one, Tinfoil Hat Club podcast. We put something up on there the other day about scientists have come out and said that there is a huge ocean that's actually contains more water than the oceans on the surface of the earth, about 70 kilometers below earth's surface.
Yeah. And if they were to read the Bible, they'd know that.
Yes. You go back to Genesis. And I think that's the verse that I put up there with it.
And in Psalms too.
Oh yeah. Okay. Where's that? Do you remember which Psalm off the top of your head?
No.
Mr. Bible scholar.
80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, somewhere around there.
In the '80s. Go read them. They're all good.
Yeah. Cause David mentions the waters above heaven and the waters below earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would they know that? Crazy, huh?
I think Enoch talks about that.
Man, I think so too. It's almost like they knew
Genesis.
Knew some stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
It's funny how people need to read their Bible.
They do. And some things that are not in it.
Yes.
So the one in Texas, just for clarity, I looked it up while we were talking here, is the Balcones Fault Line. The Balcones Fault Zone extends from Dallas to the north and Del Rio to the southwest. The Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio kind of run. It actually runs the length of this, like from almost north and south.
I've got family and friends that live down there.
It's actually a big fault. Like, but most people don't realize it. It's probably actually could be bigger than New Madrid. Actually, yeah.
It's not its fault though, right?
No, but
I've been waiting.
She's waiting, ladies and gentlemen. However, the one that scares me the most, and then those could be bad because especially in the Midwest and Texas, we had a huge earthquake in one of those two areas, and we are not prepared for that. We do not build buildings that are, we're not LA, we're not San Francisco, we're not used to this all the time. And even like Taiwan, like they take a 7.4. Yes, they had damage, but man, all in all, I think there were, last I heard, maybe 10 people, which is awful, right? 10 people lost their lives. But man, you got to think that happens in other places around the world, or it happens in the Midwest here or something like that. That is going to be BAD, bad. Yeah. The one out of all these, though, the third fault line, That is the most concerning to me because of what it could do potentially death-wise is the one that is the Cascadia Fault.
Yeah.
The Cascadia Subduction Zone is what they call it. And that is where the North American plate is going underneath the Pacific plate. I think I got that right. Or vice versa. I don't remember which way is going.
It's the one that's creating the Rockies pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. That's where everything's folded right there in the Cascadia mountain range. And with all the volcanoes like Mount St. Helens, I think is part of the Cascadia mountain range. I could be wrong on that. Double check me. But all those mountains that we have up there in the Northwest, though, those are not mountains. They're mountains, but they're volcanoes is what they really are. They're just dormant volcanoes. Yeah. But occasionally they do become active, hence Mount St. Helens. And when we were little babies in, 1980, I think is when that thing blew.
May 1980.
Yep. Cascadia subduction zone, I forget how many miles off the coast of Washington that is. But if you have a massive earthquake out there, 8.9 earthquake, which they say it has the potential to actually create, it could create a tsunami that is epic. And size. And because of the proximity to the coast, there would be like little to no warning, like 15 minutes is what you would get.
Yeah.
And that is not enough time really for people to get to safety.
No. I was talking to my mother-in-law and she knew somebody that lived in Oregon when Mount St. Helens blew. They said there was so much ash that they couldn't even drive their car because it was in the air cleaner and everything.
Oh my goodness. That's insane.
So it was like 3 or 4 days before they could clean. It was like snow.
Yeah, it does. It looks like snow. Yeah, that's crazy. And that was like they call it a volcanic explosivity index, the VEI rating.
Yeah.
See, I'm such a nerd. Clean a nerd off the table when I'm done here. But that was like a 4 and it goes up to 7.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like 4 or 5 or something like that.
Boom.
That is a very, very large explosion. So let me double check my,
If you guys have warm fuzzies, raise your hand.
No, not good. Yeah, let's see here. Let's see. Mount St. Helens Volcano VEI.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, Foilers. Ben and I need your support as we continue to work to grow it for God and increase the amount of listeners to the podcast. Here is what you can do to help. Head on over to our website, thetfhc.com, to take advantage of our Conspiracy sale. All of our t-shirts are 20% off until the end of May. Also, we are excited to announce the Foil has gone digital. That's right. From this point forward, you can now listen or watch every episode of the Tinfoil Hat Club podcast on YouTube, Rumble, or our website, thetfhc.com/video. If you have questions after watching or want to reach out to us, be sure to send us an email, thedudes@thetfhc.com. Feeling charitable and want to give to the cause? Consider donating using our Cash App link, which can be found on our website. Last, come and be a part of the TFHC family on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Rumble. And be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share with everyone you think would enjoy the podcast. Thanks to each of you for your love and support. Now, back to the show. Yeah, it was a 5. Goes up to 7. So that just goes to show you that it was a large eruption, but not anything of the scale and scope of what things could be.
It's still scary.
That's terrifying. Like a 7 would be like the Yellowstone all going at once. Yeah. These huge areas that we have in certain places that we've identified on the earth that are like all of Yellowstone is literally like a huge caldera that's filled with lava.
Yeah.
And if it ever goes, then it's like a, you know, world ending event.
Yeah. Well, I guess Southern Indiana, don't they have like down in French Lick, isn't that like the springs? Wasn't that like a hot springs?
Oh, is it?
Well, in order to have hot spring, you definitely have some kind of activity as well.
Like sulfur or some kind based. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I thought so.
I'm not sure.
And I think a lot of famous people went there during the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Really?
Yeah. I could just be making stuff up, but I think I remember.
Sounds good. I believe you.
I think I remember that. And I think it's like dead now.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
But if we're close to a fault line, I don't see why not. There couldn't be.
You're going to have activity. There's no doubt about it. You're going to have all kinds of potential activity when you're.
Yeah.
If you got any kind of hot spring, it's going to be some kind of underground volcanic activity in order to make that heat, right?
Yeah.
Geothermal activity. So one of the other things that we wanted to talk about before we get into the show this week is, and not a lot of people maybe know about this because it didn't really get big time news, but it's concerning.
It got brushed under the rug.
And sort of. Sort of. It, I guess not front page, like everybody should really be talking about it, but they're really not. So you may have heard of him, you may not. But the other day, early in the morning for us, like almost midnight or after midnight, I just happened to be up. I think it was maybe last Monday because I was editing our show for the release or whatever, and I'd stayed up a little late. Israel went and bombed the Iranian embassy in Damascus. And so that is first of all, from a conflict and war perspective, that is a no. You don't do that. You don't bomb embassies. You definitely don't do it on purpose, and you definitely don't bomb embassies of people who you're not openly at war with. The way they viewed it is they had a lot of Hamas leadership, and then Iran has been backing Hezbollah and has always backed Hezbollah, and they believe that they're backing Hamas too and funding them and actually giving them a lot of this military stuff that they're using against us too out in the Gulf, because they sent a ballistic missile after one of our ships the other day that we shot down. Not a nuclear one, but like a higher level missile. And so they killed like a high ranking Iranian general and a couple other people that they believe were behind a lot of the planning of these attacks and the continued war effort and things. And that has not made these terrorist groups very happy. And it definitely didn't make Iran very happy. And they vowed to have vengeance.
Oh.
So we'll see what that looks like. Considering that we've pretty much, taken the brakes off them not having a nuclear program, that's concerning, isn't it?
Yeah.
So things are not scaling down over there, folks. They're actually getting worse.
God will fight for Israel, though.
He will. But this just goes to show you. You go back to Matthew 24 again, Luke 21, wars and rumors of wars. And you've got some prophecy in the Old Testament about Damascus ceasing to exist and being a pile of rubble. And you've got Ashdod and Ashkelon, which are the two cities on the coast in Israel, just north of Gaza, also being emptied now. I don't know if that's happened in the past or if that's future prophecy. Hard to say, but I don't know. We'll just have to keep an eye.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will. So, but this week, with everything we have going on, it's just something that we've felt like, or at least for me, I felt like it was time to talk about something that we have hinted to in the past, but we haven't really delved into it deeply. And this really goes down a lot of other avenues and rabbit holes once you start going down it. And it is the occult side of the coin. So occultism and digging into the occult. And one of the first things that pops to mind is the thing that's going on with old Puff Daddy right now. People aren't going to be like, a cult? What does that have to do with what Puff Daddy's getting investigated for? Because it seems like they're going after him for drug trafficking and weapons trafficking and human trafficking and all kinds of trafficking. But I think that's an extension of the occult.
Yeah, it is.
And it's just when you look around and you look at these people that are in Hollywood, whether in the music industry or Hollywood itself, it's like in order to get to a certain level of fame, it's almost like you got to sell your soul to get there.
Yeah.
And it's just terrifying what they do. And we've got a lot of different things that we're going to talk about. But one of the ones along that run is everybody fawns over Taylor Swift and her and Travis Kelce and that whole relationship or whatever. She claims to be this wholesome kind of girl and Christian and all these things. But man, when you look at the things that she's doing, it's basically like almost openly demonic in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And we had pulled up one of the lyrics for one of her songs. Is this a newer song?
I don't know.
But this, you can go look at it for yourself. The song is You're on Your Own, Kid. And when you look at the lyrics of this, it's pretty dark in spots, man. And there's some things in here. And if you go look at the imagery too, like I pulled up imagery that you can go find with her with a bunch of snakes and stuff behind her and this huge snake figurine with red eyes. And it's just very occultish and very dark. Yeah. And I'm going to read some of the lyrics from this song just really quick. And this is the chorus that she keeps changing up a little bit. But here's what it reads. From sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I called a taxi to take me there. I searched the party of better bodies just to learn that my dreams aren't rare. You're on your own, kid. You've always have been. From sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I gave my blood, sweat, and tears for this. I hosted parties and starved my body like I'd be saved by a perfect kiss. The jokes weren't funny. I took the money. My friends from home don't know what to say. I looked around in a blood-soaked gown, and I saw something they can't take away. Because there were pages turned with the bridges burned. Everything you lose is a step you take. So make the friendship bracelets. Take the moment and taste it. You've got no reason to be afraid.
Yeah.
Now that's dark.
Yeah. And like I shared a video to our Facebook page earlier this week. Guy talking, haven't seen it, go watch it. A guy talking about a party he wished he never went to. And that song describes what happened at the party.
Yeah. And just for clarity, he was actually an early YouTube kind of star.
Yeah.
So it's not just music and
they want everybody.
Yeah. If you become popular in any way, cause that's the new medium, right? Like you can like these, some of these guys that are making on YouTube are making millions and millions of dollars on YouTube. So they're just as big as any kind of Hollywood,
if not bigger,
bigger in some ways, cause social media is so prevalent now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we wanted to share that cause it really ties into what we're going to talk about today. But one of the things that I wanted to share with everybody that just a little bit of something about me that you may not know is I used to be a Freemason. Insert the shocked gasps from the crowd. Now, I said I used to be a Freemason. So just for clarity, I got to think on the timeline here. I was involved with Freemasonry. I became a Master Mason, and I was probably all total involved in Freemasonry about 18 months. So about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. I want to say about a year and a half. And just for clarity, people don't understand how Freemasonry works. So I want to start there. And it's funny because Ben knew this about me early on. And when we actually first met, I was still in Freemasonry.
And I did not have a problem.
Yeah, because I think you could see my character. And, but still, there's a lot of concerning things out there. Some of them accurate and some of them completely not accurate about Freemasonry.
The way I took it is I don't know what's true. I don't know what's not.
Yes. And that's a healthy way to approach it because a lot of people hear what they want to hear and then they immediately go there. Now, I just want to make it clear. I left Freemasonry for a reason. And the reason is, and we're going to get into this more, I do not feel Freemasonry is compatible with my faith and my belief in Christ is the number one thing in my life. It is the most important thing in my life, as it should be for any Christian, in my opinion, because you need to have that before you can have any other healthy relationships, whether it be with your spouse, your children, your friends, work, whatever. You need to have your relationship with Christ and God first in your life. So the way that Freemasonry works, for those of you that don't know, because immediately a lot of people go, oh, were you a 33rd degree Freemason? No, that's not how Freemasonry works. Every single Freemason starts off and goes through what they call Blue Lodge. You go through Blue Lodge first. And after you go through your first 3 degrees, you are actually a Master Mason. Until you reach the stage of being a Master Mason, which can vary between every different person, however fast or slow you want to go through the degrees. You could do a 1 day Master Mason. Wow. You can go through all three in 1 day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole nother thing of why they're doing that. And there's a whole thing there. I can go into that more if you want later, but I'll just outline it. And then Ben's going to ask probably some questions today. We're going to let that kind of guide how things go, but because he's had questions he's wanted to ask for a while. And we've agreed to not talk about it so much on the show, but I think the time has come because of everything we have going on. So once you become a Master Mason and you reach that third degree, then you can start going into some of the other, your pass opens up for you to be able to go into other things that are connected to Freemasonry, such as the Scottish Rite. The Scottish Rite is actually where you would get up to the 33rd degree. Now, you can't actually get to the 33rd degree of Freemasonry on the Scottish Rite side until you, that's actually an honorary degree. So you will not be, you cannot achieve that degree unless you are invited to be part of that and honorarily bestowed upon you the 33rd degree. So you can go through 32, but you're not going to get that 33rd degree until you, it's an honorary degree. Now there's other parts of Freemasonry that most people are not aware of. So you got Scottish Rite side, and that's where you also have the shrine, right? The shrine's the one that works with the children and does all these things. A lot of guys, a lot of Freemasons just come and they go through Blue Lodge and then they get their Master Mason degree because they want to be a Shriner. So they go to be a Shriner.
So they can ride the little bikes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
sorry.
It's really a social club.
I know.
It's the ultimate social club. And it's a lot of guys just use it to make the connections and do that. Right. And I want to say this, and you and I talked about this upstairs. These organizations that we're going to talk about today, on the surface, they can do a lot of really good things for a lot of different groups.
Yeah.
Like the Shriners do a lot of really good things for kids, right? And there are a lot of really good men that are involved in these organizations. So it's very much like our conversation last week with the Catholic Church. It's not necessarily the people. It's the organization and the higher ups in the organization once you reach a certain level. However, there are some things that do happen early on that it's easy to look past the conflicts between that and your faith if you're a Christian, to get absorbed into things because it's very much masked within scripture.
Yeah.
Some of the other aspects of Freemasonry is actually the York Rite. A lot of people haven't heard of the York Rite. That is specifically the quote unquote Christian wing, if you will, that because the way the Blue Lodge works is you can be Jewish, you can be Muslim, you can be any denomination, quote unquote, or any faith, as long as you are of age, being 18 or older, and you believe in God, a higher power. Not necessarily God, but like a higher power, a creator. Okay. And a lot of times he'll be referred to as the grand architect of the universe and things like that. Okay. So you could be in lodge with, as a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, anybody that believes in God. So, or maybe somebody that doesn't necessarily subscribe to any faith, but they believe in God, right?
A God.
A God, right. Okay. A creator. And that your soul is eternal, I think is another prerequisite, right? So once you go through that, you can start getting into some of these other groups, right? Like the Grotto is another one. That's another kind of fun social club. The Grotto is lesser known than the Shriners. The Grotto typically, and it's known as the Mystic, if you ever see it, the Grotto, you'll see M-O-V-P-E-R.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay. That's Mystic Order of the Veiled Prophets of the Enchanted Realm.
Oh.
Is what that stands for. Okay. They typically, while the Shrine deals with children with physical disabilities, the Grotto typically does charitable events for children with cognitive disabilities. And a lot of times it's like the dental care and things that they need because they're cognitively impaired.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I've got some good friends that I left in the Masons. One, a dear friend of mine who actually got me into the Freemasons, who I have nothing against these men. They're really good guys. I just, when I started examining my faith, I'm like, I saw some things that are not compatible. And actually, I think it's, we talked about this all the time. It's very much a slow burn.
Yeah.
You get in and things are very wrapped in God. Right. There's a lot of discussion about the Bible. They use the Bible like you do a lot of the things that you do actually on the King James Bible.
It's King James. That's why you knew I was touché.
No, but and you're actually given and I have it upstairs still. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I have a King James Bible. That's very nice, but it's a Masonic King James Bible. There's no difference there. It's the King James. Like when you go into the cover, it's a King James from Genesis.
I've looked at them at Half Price Books before.
Yeah, and the cover will be Masonic, but it's literally the Bible's.
It is a really pretty blue.
It is very nice. They're very nice Bibles. And that's on the cover, and there's maybe a couple pages in there, but the Bible itself is not altered in any way. Okay. There is a, it's just very interesting because I think as you continue on in Freemasonry, you're slowly lowered into this bath that you don't even realize. It's like the old saying, I don't know how true it is, but the frog in boiling water.
Yeah.
It's very much like that, where the you're putting, if you put the frog right in boiling water, he hops out because he's like, oh, it's boiling.
Yeah.
But if you put him in the water and then slowly heat it up to a boil, he just boils to death.
Yeah.
I think that's similar to what happens in Freemasonry. And when someone's not super, super strong in their faith, I think it's very easy to miss some of the things that are happening that are occult based. And it's easy to get the wool pulled, put over your eyes, or get hoodwinked. There's a joke in there to what's happening. Again, I left. I evaluated my faith. I felt like there were some things that I had to be honest and real.
And we had some like conversations about it.
Absolutely. Had conversations with your father, had conversations with another member of the church about it. And ultimately, I just made the decision that I feel like there's some concerning things here. I was led down a path by a friend of mine, not at our church. He said, hey, I got this video I want you to watch. He was concerned about me being there, and he just felt led to share this video with me. He shared the video with me. I started watching, and when I got done, I wanted to investigate some of the things that I actually saw in the video to see if they were true. And I found out that, yes, they are. And there are some things that I had already experienced or had heard that I could confirm that was accurate. And the video was actually a pastor interviewing a guy who was advocating for Masonry, but in essence, he was actually a former Freemason, just like I am. And he was playing the role of advocate. He's playing devil's advocate in that particular case for Freemasonry. But at the end of the video, or you get the audio, you get to know that he is actually has left, and he encourages other guys to leave too.
Yeah.
One of the things that you experience right out of the gate when you go through in your first 3 degrees, your first degree is actually called an entered apprentice. So everything is formatted around, the story is built around the building of King Solomon's temple.
Yeah.
So the original temple. Okay. And that's how everything in Freemasonry is built around that. And some of it's true as far as how things would work. Entered apprentice at the time, in order to distinguish between Masons, they reading and writing wasn't a huge thing back then.
Yeah.
So they would have secret handshakes and gestures that they would make to one another to identify what level of Mason they were. Right. And so an entered apprentice is the lowest Mason. You're not a master Mason yet. The next step up from that would be your second degree, which would be a fellow craft. So you learn a little bit more. And then you go through the Master Mason ceremony, and you have everything revealed to you at that point. And then as you continue on beyond that, whichever path you decide to go down, it all builds on that story.
Yeah.
For the most part. There are some things that are different than that and different alter away, but that's how everything works. Now, there's actually, if you want to know more, there's nothing that I've shared with you right now that you can't go find out for yourself.
Yeah.
There's a documentary on Freemasonry that's actually very good. It will explain to you a lot of the things that how it's structured and how it works, called 33 and Beyond, I do believe. That's actually on Amazon Prime. It was done by Freemasons, and they actually, I was shocked when I watched it because I'm like, wow, they're actually sharing a lot. So you can go watch that. It'll explain how everything is structured if you want. But for me, ultimately, what I started diving into, and I when I decided to leave, I actually wrote a letter and gave, I was asked to, of why I was leaving and that my intention was to leave. And I have that letter pulled up here, and I'm going to read it really quick. Brothers, as I've spoken to the three of you, I wanted to submit my intention to leave the craft in writing. This was also something that I was asked to go along with my intention to demit, which is to leave. Simply put, and while there are several factors that have led me to this decision, first and foremost would be that I have come to the determination that Freemasonry is not compatible with my faith and beliefs as a Christian. I have been a Master Mason now for over a year and a half, and ultimately I have never arrived at a place of total peace in my soul about my involvement in the craft, which the craft is concerning the way it's even referred to there, in my opinion. But we have a lot of crafts that we do. Don't want to get too caught in that.
I see where you're saying
that. Yeah. I have continued to experience this small, constant voice of doubt the entire time. Many times I tried to dismiss these feelings as the quote-unquote noise of the outside world, of which there is a great deal, speaking against Freemasonry. However, I can no longer deny what I know in my heart to be personally true. While much of this information is rooted in fiction, some of that I have encountered firsthand, I know to be rooted in fact. Another thing that I clung on to and tried to use to dismiss my feelings was the fact that my grandfather, a man of deep faith, was a Freemason. I simply could not see him being part of something that was in conflict with his faith as a Christian. This thought, along with that of the incredible amount of outside noise that I mentioned above, gave me fuel to continue to dismiss that still small voice inside of doubt. As I continue to wrestle with the feelings of doubt, however, the voice of the Holy Spirit has grown louder and louder. As I continue to evaluate and speak with friends, I knew deep in my heart that I needed to leave. While we claim to not be a religion, which is contrary to the thoughts of our forefathers below, or our forebears below, we dabble in several of them, along with mysticism and even occultism in some cases. See the Scottish Rite in Osiris. I'm going to pause right there. The Scottish Rite is very much formed around Egyptian mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Osiris.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is occultish.
Yeah.
There's a reason they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to continue on. The writings and speeches of our most esteemed fraternal elders of the past, such as Mackey and Pike, and that's speaking of Albert Pike.
He was a bad dude.
Yes. Are also of deep concern. General Albert Pike, Grand Commander, Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry, giving instructions to the 23 Supreme Councils of the world, said as follows in a speech, quote, "That which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Grand Inspector General, we say this, and you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion, okay, should be by all of us initiates of the high degrees maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine."
Yep.
"If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the God of the Christians, whose deeds prove cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately, Adonai is also God. For the eternal law that is there is no light without shade, for the eternal law is that there is no light without shade, no beauty without ugliness, no white without black, for the absolute can, it's being really weird here, only exist as two gods, darkness being necessary for light to serve as its foil, as the pedestal is necessary to the statue and the brake to the locomotive. Thus, the doctrine of Satanism is heresy, and the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. Another challenge that I have from a faith perspective happens early." That should be enough for anybody not to want to be a part, because that's open. Like that's out there for everybody to read.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not any big secret. Now, that's Albert Pike. "Still to this day, Freemasons hold Albert Pike and Mackey, I forget his first name, in very high esteem." And this is the kind of stuff that you can read from them.
Yeah.
Continuing on. "Another challenge that I have from a faith perspective happens early on in our journey as Freemasons. This challenge is the taking of oaths. I know that we dismiss these and are sure to say that they are not oaths, but, quote, obligations. But we need to be honest with ourselves. Changing the name to get around what we are clearly instructed not to do in Scripture does not change the intent. God always knows and sees the heart. When you swear to not do something under physical penalty up to and including death, that is an oath. In fact, it is the very definition of an oath. We do this while placing our hands on the Bible and often cite in defense that the same happens when we enter into a court setting or are sworn into office. These two are wrong and are contrary to Christ's own words of instruction found in Matthew 5, 33 through 37. And that states, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is a footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to simply say is yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Yep.
I want to be very clear as I close this letter. I do not hold any man at fault, nor do I look down upon he who continues down the path of Freemasonry. I would and will caution them, however, and will speak honestly about my feelings and beliefs as it comes to the craft. I have made some great bonds and with several brothers, and if they would like to continue that bond of friendship outside of Masonry, I would love that. In the end, as I have said to each of you, we do not need a special club in order to have bonds of brotherhood and friendship. May God bless each of you, and I hope to speak with you again soon. So that is the letter that I wrote.
Remember when they were tearing down statues a few years ago?
Yeah.
Pike was one of them, and Trump said he was a really good guy.
Just throwing that little ditty out there. So there you go. That's the really good guy that our former president who wants to be president again thinks is a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who thinks that Lucifer is the equal of God and actually goes beyond that and says that God is actually the bad guy and Lucifer is the good guy. And he's fighting against God, who is actually, you know.
Yeah. Trump's favorite book is the Bible. Remember that, folks.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember, he speaks out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. Of course he did.
Okay.
All right. You got questions?
How did you get in?
Okay. So first of all, Freemasonry itself is dying.
Yeah.
It's dying. The enrollment continues to go down and go down and go down, as is with most of these occultish clubs. Okay. You've got some other ones in there too. The Knights of Columbus is the Christian or the Catholic wing of this. They're no better. Don't let anybody kid you. Okay. First of all, the Catholics can't stand Freemasonry. Okay. Yeah. They've always been opposed to it. And I think that this goes all the way back to some things that happened long ago.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it now, but.
Yeah. I know.
But sorry, most back people, to you.
But I would say I know the history because I look into all this stuff. Okay. So
this goes back to a guy by the name of Jacques de Molay, who was the head of the Knights Templar. Now, that's the other thing, too, is when you go down the York Rite route, ultimately, you can become a Templar Knight.
Yeah.
That is the kind of the last, there are 9 degrees in the York Rite. And when you go through and you make it through the 9th degree, that's actually you're a Knights Templar, which is what I wanted to do just because I thought it was cool. And I was interested in the quote unquote Christian side, but there are a lot of things in there too that are very concerning that I'm not going to get into today. But for me, as I got into probably my last 5 to 10 years or so of my life, I started thinking more about my grandfather, and I remember seeing things laying around his house, and I knew he was a Freemason, and I was just curious about it because it'd been around forever, right? And I had a buddy at work who, the one that actually got me in, wears a lot of Masonic hats and things like this, and you're not allowed to wear any of that stuff until you're actually a Master Mason, just FYI. And so I got struck up a conversation with him, and he's, well, if you're interested, I'm more than happy to help you out. And things just didn't work out from a timing perspective. I get married and move out here. And then I'm like, okay, much more stable now. Have a lodge right here in town. And it just so happened that he had transferred to this lodge out here. And so I'm like, yeah, I think that's the time. So I go out there and I talk to the guys, attend a couple dinners, because you always typically have dinner on the night of your monthly meeting. And all monthly meeting is, it's hilarious. We were talking about this upstairs too. Everybody's, oh, what happens during the monthly meeting? Do you have all these weird sex goat rituals? It's like, no.
I did not ask that.
I know, but that's there's this crazy stuff out there about this. And it's, no, we don't have weird sex goat. Honestly, it's really boring. There's some kind of scripted things that you go through. To go and you open lodge, and then you literally talk about paying bills, previous months and minutes, and where's the bank account at? If you got any kind of investments, where are they at? Hey, we had this thing that needs fixed in the lodge, and it's all business. It's really boring. Okay. But before you have that meeting, you typically have a dinner. And so you get invited to the dinner because you can be part of the dinner. You just can't be part of the meeting afterwards, right? Until you start to go through the degrees. And so I got invited to the dinners, and then you petition the lodge, and then the lodge actually puts a committee together to vet you to make sure that you're not.
Sounds like a church.
Crazy. It is. And you read right there, right? That, let's face it, they try to mask like they're not having you take oath, and they try to mask like they're not a religion, but let's just face it, they are.
Well, they must have got the committee from the church, definitely.
I know. Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities there, right? And yeah. The way a lot of churches are run and organizations in general.
Yeah.
So for me, it started with my grandfather, and I read that in the I read that in the letter, right? And I couldn't see anything where it would be conflictual. There's a lot of noise, and I already had heard some of the noise. There's so much crap floating out there about everything now. You don't know what's real, and you don't know what's not. And I always went into it, and I was like, I'm going to keep my eyes open. I'm going to be really cautious about this because my faith is very important to me. And if there's anything in here that I'm not good with, I'm out.
Yeah.
And so that's how you get started. And then you schedule your first degree presentation, and that would be the Entered Apprentice. And then you go through this ceremony, this ritual, and you're entered into the lodge, basically, yeah. The club. Now, when they have degree nights, there are different ways to, quote unquote, open and close lodge based on whether or not you're Entered Apprentice, a fellow craft, or a master mason. So they had to change how they opened while I was present to match my lower degree. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the questions you got?
Have to take any blood oaths?
No, there's no blood oaths.
Okay.
I would have been out.
I was just wondering.
No, there's no blood oaths.
But the thing with me, it would be pain of death. That's...
Yes. And again, if you want to see a Master Mason ceremony... You can actually go find that. There was a guy right before I left whose name was Kyle as well, which is curious. But he had a channel on YouTube called Kyle Undercover, I think. Yeah. And he was from Arizona. And he actually snuck into...
It's scary looking.
Yeah. Because it's... You're ultimately playing out a role, a ceremony. The third degree is very different than the first two degrees.
Yeah.
The third degree is you're playing out a role and you're actually... involved in a murder.
Yeah.
And you were the one that's murdered.
Yeah.
And that all goes back to the story of the temple and how the temple was built. And there was a master mason named Hiram Abiff who was in charge of building King Solomon's temple. But there's no blood oaths. But what you do from right out of the gate is you are kneeled down at an altar and you literally are putting your hands on the Bible. Or if you're Muslim, you would put them on the Quran. I think that's how they would do it. Or there would be a Quran on the thing. But there are still references to biblical scripture during each of these ceremonies.
Yeah.
There are passages that are read out of the Bible, King James Bible, for each of these ceremonies.
Yeah.
And you basically swear an oath under penalty of various punishments that would ultimately result in death.
Yeah.
While there's no quote-unquote blood given, you are still making... They call them not oaths, but they call them
obligations.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You can call a dinosaur a lizard, but he's still a dinosaur.
Yeah. Let's see what else. That was like, I often wondered how you got in and if there was blood oaths and
there's really not. I'm like it, and the thing is, like, there used to be back in the day because it went through popularity shifts. Like, it was extremely popular,
like
40s, 40s and 50s, I want to say. And then as we move forward, there's some things that kind of happened that really people used to really call into question.
Yeah.
The negative nature. It might even be further back than that. Because like all the founding fathers, or the vast majority of our founding fathers of our country, were Freemasons.
Yeah.
And when you look at all of the architecture and the way that even Washington, D.C. is designed, it's designed with all of these crazy Freemason symbols.
Yeah.
And Egyptian.
Occultic.
Yeah, occultic. The Washington Monument.
Yeah.
Well, that's modeled after all of these, I forget what they call them.
Obelisks.
Yeah, obelisks. Thank you. That you can find all around the world, typically when there's pyramids.
But you know what another name for that is? An Asherah pole.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's also representative of a phallus.
Yeah, well, so is an Asherah.
Yeah.
And then you have the reflection pool at the monument pointing to the District of Columbia, the Capitol building.
Yes.
That is a womb.
Yes. And then you go into the Capitol Rotunda and you look on the roof and you see this really strange...
The apotheosis of George Washington.
Yeah. Where it's like he is like the god that's overseeing the Capitol. Because he was supposed to be buried below the Capitol Rotunda. Yeah. And supposedly his family was like, no, he's going to get buried back in Mount Vernon where he came from.
And that's why every president lies in state there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're getting sent to heaven. Mm. They're becoming a god.
It's, I tell you what, man, there's a lot of things where it's very occultish.
Yeah.
It is. And again, there are good men. Here's what I experienced. I do not, they throw a lot at you in the first 3 degrees. Okay. But the way that it's presented is it's presented in a way that actually has so much scripture and stuff wrapped around it that you lose sight of some of the negatives of it. And it's easy to get caught into the things of, well, yeah, I guess it is true. We do put our hand on the Bible before we get sworn into office and before we go on a stand and a jury and all this and that. But what you got to realize is, yeah, we call those oaths.
Yeah.
Oaths of office. Do you swear to tell the truth? That's an oath. And we shouldn't be doing that crap either.
Quakers are the only ones that don't do that.
I wouldn't do it anymore. Because here's the thing. Like, if it's not good, if I recognize that it's not good where I was doing it before. And that's another level too, where it takes something like that and it takes it to another level.
Yeah.
Right? Because like when you're swearing under penalty of perjury, yeah, okay, you might be punished, you might be thrown in jail, but they're not going to cut your tongue out of your head or cut your guts out.
Yeah.
Which is what is told to you various different degrees, so various different penalties. So
it's like Harry Carey then, huh?
Harry Carey.
Where they...
Oh, my!
Yeah. Isn't that what it's called, what the Japanese do?
Oh, the disembowelment?
Yes.
Yeah, like one of them, yeah, is that.
Yeah.
And again, it gets into the whole story of the building of the temple and Hiram Abiff.
Do you think that's true?
What?
That they can trace their lineage all the way back to the temple, or do you think it's just a story?
I think it's a story. They don't, nobody really even knows, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And all, it looks like it probably tracked its way back to at least Scotland time.
Yeah.
And because you got the Knights Templar that were a thing. Who knows, man? We're so far removed now, and there's been things that have changed.
Okay.
Too.
Have you ever wondered why all the astronauts were Masons and all of the programs were named after Greek gods, Apollo, Gemini?
Yeah. It's. Our country and our history, people do not realize, is extremely steeped in occultism.
Yeah.
Especially Egyptian and Greek and Roman occultism.
Yeah.
It is. And I think the reason for that is it was established very early on. Matter of fact, one of the things that you can go read about, I wish I could have kept the book because one of the guys that was a Freemason gave me a History of Freemasonry book, which is really phenomenally well done. It was a beautiful book.
I bet.
But it talked about how after the founding of the country, there was an uprising politically of, hey, wait a minute, the Freemasons are like taking over everything. And so there was a huge push to really go after the Freemasons and take them down because they had been involved in building everything. They've never found the cornerstone that they supposedly did this ritual for the White House. Where they did this Masonic ritual. I don't remember the whole story, but then they laid it as the cornerstone in the White House. And even supposedly, even when they tore the thing down to the shell, which was when Truman was in office, what was Truman?
He's a Mason.
He's a Freemason. Yeah. Not only a Freemason, but he was actually the head. He was the Grand Master of Missouri.
Yeah. What's the difference between Mason and Freemason?
None.
Just... Mm-hmm. What does the free mean?
There isn't really. No. A lot of times you'll see F and AM, free and accepted.
I thought it was free and accepted Mason.
Yeah, free and accepted Mason. So. Yeah. You've got a speculative and then an operative.
Okay.
Like an operative Freemason would be someone that's actually a Mason, right? They're actually a Freemason. Like they actually work with brick.
Okay.
Whereas a speculative, like we just use that as like everything is the trial means something and the 24, okay. Like I was a big fan. And that's the thing too. That's a very good point that you bring up. There's a lot of things where a lot of the teachings that you learn in these ceremonies or rituals, if you will, are extremely good teachings, very good teachings. Like one of the ones that I'm a particularly huge fan of is actually taught to you in the Entered Apprentice degree, and that's the 24-inch gauge. So while an operative Freemason would use a 24-inch gauge to measure things, right?
Yeah.
A speculative Freemason, which is what we would all consider be would use that and take it for a different, they would say a more noble and divine purpose, to use it to actually as a time monitor, because you got 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And so what it teaches you is to break your day up into three equal parts, eight for devotion to your faith, eight for devotion to your fellow man in labor, and eight for refreshment and sleep. Well, that's a great teaching, because one of the things that I see nowadays is how crazy, ridiculously run down we are, because we run around like lunatics and like we're busy like all the time, and we run ourselves into an early grave and we're stressed, right? That's a fantastic teaching. And there's a lot of teachings like that. So everything, like a trowel has its own teaching, and all of these things, a rough ashlar, a smooth ashlar, a perfect ashlar, all these different things represent different things. And they're very good teachings, and they will teach you how to be a better man. But that's what the wrapping is. But here's the thing. One of the things that I really had a problem with, that, and this wasn't the main reason I left, because the faith issue was the main reason I left. But the secondary issue of why I left was, I was watching these things get taught, but then we didn't live them.
Yeah.
So there's like an element of hypocrisy in there, because what I was seeing was there's a lot of these guys have a huge imbalance, in my opinion, between their dedication to Freemasonry and like life.
So it's almost, I just had this thought. So that's almost like with the church too.
Yeah. The hypocrisy. You go.
So the occult and the church have the same problems. Hypocrisy.
Well, that's because the occult has crept its way into the church, right? Because the occult is just the start.
Yeah.
Right. That it's just the start. We talked about this upstairs, right? It's whatever your vice is, whether it's sex, drugs, food, alcohol, gambling, fame, money, whatever, man. Just a gateway to get you to fall down on your knees to find out what your weakness is.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest weaknesses for human beings is power.
Oh yeah.
Right. Well, man, when you get to be somebody in Masonry, you're powerful. Yeah. You're a powerful person, right?
Yeah.
You became a famous Mason. You're a powerful Mason.
Yeah.
And then you've got this whole group of people that are like, oh, you're part of the club and you're a famous part of the club.
Yeah.
And yeah, like astronauts, presidents, like we've had, I forget how many presidents, 5 presidents, I think 7 presidents, something like that, who have been
maybe more than
Masons. You would know. They wouldn't hide it. The last president we had was actually Ford.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, he was the last Freemason we had. That was a president.
But Bush, he was a skull and crossbone.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing too, is you get into a lot of these other things, like the old, I forget the name of it. It escapes my mind right now, but that's very similar. And a lot of it's based on Freemasonry, right? Then the Knights of Columbus, all this crap. It's all part of occultism.
Yeah.
You're going to get bathed in occultism. The Catholic Church is bathed in occultism.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. They can call it whatever they want, but let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
They are. They're engaging in occultism, and occultism is a gateway to all of whatever your sin is. And maybe when you get to a certain point, and a lot of people say this, like they would say, oh, well, you just haven't gotten far enough yet to really see all the really bad stuff. And I like to say it's the carrot you'll never bite.
Yeah.
Because it's no matter how high you go, they're going to be like, well, you have just haven't gotten high enough yet. Well, it's like, how high do I have to go?
You were in here, what? Not even.
I was in there 18 months.
And you started seeing stuff right away.
I did start seeing some things, and I dismissed them.
Yeah.
I dismissed the oath taking. And some of the other things that I didn't even mention in the letter. But then when I started digging into things deeper, and you hear things, right? Like you hear things that you know are true because they're kept within the brotherhood.
Yeah.
Right. So when you hear things, you can really get a good gauge for a lot of things outside of the world because you do hear things inside. Now, a lot of things aren't shared with you until you go through these particular degrees, but you still get inklings of what's going on.
Okay. Here's a thought. Like, the high, way high people. I don't know who they are. The guys above you, above them, let's say the top dudes, they're part of the web, aren't they? Like when I'm like reaching out to other places and other people.
I think you got to get really high.
I mean,
I think the carrot does exist, but I think you do got to get high. However, here's the thing. I think what happens is like that boiling factor we talked about.
Yeah.
By the time you get to that point, and it's a combo pack between I said it's a carrot you'll never bite and the fact that you don't even realize you bit it. Yeah. Does that, if that makes sense?
No, yeah.
Because you've slowly been turned up to boiling. So by the time you get to through some of these degrees and you get up to that level, you're so desensitized or separated from your faith. You've had your faith, like, I hate to use the term deconstructed, but in a lot of ways, that's what it's designed to do, because it's designed to, while they'll try to play it off, your faith is important and we never want to have Freemasonry. And this is taught to you very early and it's really beat into your head. We don't want Freemasonry, should never come in the way of your faith or your family. But yet I'm watching Freemasonry do those two exact things with a lot of my friends that are involved in it.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching, one, the level of commitment to the Freemasonry and climbing some of these ladders and getting to some of these high positions. I had friends that I was involved with who are good guys, but I feel like they're being misled and they're getting way more involved. Like, I know there's no way that some of these guys are as devoted to their faith as they are Freemasonry.
Yeah.
There's no, you don't have enough time. You could have 36 hours in a day and they wouldn't have enough time because of how much time I watch them devote to Freemasonry. Because you got to think, if you're involved, everybody's going to, should be involved in Blue Lodge, right? Because you should still continue to go through Blue Lodge. Because if you don't have Blue Lodge, everything dies. It's like the foundation, right? Yeah. So then you'll have a guy that's a Master Mason. He's been through the 3 degrees in Blue Lodge and he's a Shriner and he's going through the Scottish Rite. Oh, and he's in the Grotto. And, oh, he's part of the, he's going through the York Rite too. And then there are various different organizations inside of each of these that you can get into even further. So by the time you turn around, you got a guy that's involved in something every day of the week.
Yeah.
Well, if you're involved in something every day of the week, what are you doing to take care of your family?
Yeah.
What are you doing to support your wife?
Yeah.
What are you doing for your faith? And again, early on, here we taught that 24-inch gauge, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're clearly violating the 24-inch gauge because you don't have enough time.
Yeah.
You have an imbalance.
It seems like a lot of Methodists are Masons.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because there's always been a conflict between the Catholic Church and Freemasonry, right? What you have is the two that are still, the two Protestant denominations that still remain the closest to the Catholic Church would be the Lutheran Church and the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
I like to call them Catholic Light.
Yeah.
Because their services are very...
Yeah.
Almost identical to a Catholic mass. Well, that makes a lot of sense because they would be feel persecuted, but they still want to maintain that Catholicism as far as their religion. So it doesn't surprise me if there's a higher concentration of those guys.
Yeah. When Maria's grandfather was naturalized, the judge that did it, somebody introduced the judge. It wasn't a typical all rise. It was like, he had like an MC, you know, his clerk gave his credentials. He was a Methodist and he was a 33rd degree Mason. And I think he might've been something else, but I mean, it was like, he was proud of that.
Oh yeah, man. You get to that. I'm telling you, when you get bestowed a 33rd degree, that's a big deal.
And I was like, a figure. And I looked at Maria's like, figure, he's a Mason judge. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. You know, all of these things, when you get to that point, when you get to, if you're involved enough in Masonry to get bestowed a 33rd degree in the Scottish Rite, people, and people know you.
Yeah. Does it cost to each level?
No. Well, no.
It just costs your soul.
Yeah. The one that's the most expensive, I think, is to be a Shriner.
Okay.
But to go through a lot of these degrees, I do not believe there's a cost.
I didn't know if there was like a, since it's an organization, it needs money.
Yeah. The way it's done based on you pay annual dues.
Okay.
And then the more things you're involved with, the more dues you're going to pay because everything's got its, that's
just
how they
like
fund
the
everything.
Union.
Yeah. It's just like any organization. That's how they fund it. Right.
But do they help each other? Okay. I know they're charitable, but if somebody needs help, do they help them or is it just like,
yeah, hey, well,
you're on your own, dude.
No, you got to think of how you phrase that because organization to organization, you're not going to see a lot of cross-pollination.
Okay.
But what you will see is because it's all based on men.
Yeah.
You will have that happen because you're still a Master Mason.
Yeah.
You still have a common bond. So let's say that you went through the first 3 degrees and you decided to go York Rite. I went through the first 3 degrees and I decided to go Scottish Rite. We're still Master Masons.
Yeah.
And we still have this brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
And that's a powerful thing too, especially nowadays, is because we need brothers. Like we need that support of other men, because that's one of the things that's being attacked and ripped away from society right now. And I think you would think that would help the Masons grow, but I think what they've done is they've actually hurt themselves by trying to continue to, they've taken away some of the mysticism of it that was enticing at one point for people to try to get involved with.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of noise out there.
Yeah.
And some of it's justified and some of it's just noise. It's just nonsense. Like some of the things I joked about earlier, the goats and the sex rituals and all these things. Maybe
not in your lodge.
Maybe these things are, who knows, right?
One,
but not you're the vast majority of Masons are never, if anything crazy like that is happening, the vast majority of Masons are never going to know about it and they're never going to touch it.
One group is the Jesters. They have a little building down Lafayette Road and 56th Street. And I was close to it one day and I'm like, oh, look these guys up. Those guys were the ones that had the goats and stuff.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things like that. It's been around for hundreds of years now, right? So there is a lot of stuff to learn and a lot of things that I was still learning when I left of what organizations we had or what things were being done or what weird degrees that were, I have some strange degrees that are not connected to any of those organizations that I talked about. I have a degree of, I don't even know, I'm a turtle. You know, a lot of the astronauts were turtles. I'm a turtle. I've gone through that. I've gone through a sort of Bunker Hill degree. You have all these other degrees that are created that you can go through that are just like for funsies. And they typically will be like an extra charge or whatever to go through some of these. And you get like a lifetime membership or whatever. I got a royal degree of Zanzibar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. But again, nothing in there was a red flag. Now, the only thing that I would say is some of them were not the most Christianly things, not necessarily like the degree itself wasn't anti-Christian, but it was like the guys putting it on were like not exactly shining with Christian light while you're going through this degree.
Yeah.
But like some of them are pretty humorous and pretty benign, but it's really the base that is the concern. And again, it's dying. Their enrollment is dying. And this kind of goes back to something that you had got a smile on your face and we talked about very early on, which is like things like a one day, you can become a master mason in one day. Well,
I'm thinking that would be a lot of work.
Well, first of all,
because you got to memorize a lot of stuff, don't you?
No, I thought you did. That's part of the problem and of why it's dying is because I think when they started to see an enrollment dip, they started to do things that actually made it worse, not better. And they've made it now so sloppy easy to get degrees that you don't really have to do that. Hmm. It used to be you had to. You'd have to remember a lot of the ceremony, a lot of the ritual, and be able to recite it before you could move on to the next level. But they don't really do that anymore. And they're trying to keep enrollment up. So then they come up with things like a one-day class. And I always thought that was a joke. That's a joke.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's a joke. I'm like, I would look at anybody in leadership. Because here's the thing for me, too. I had a lot of problems with our leadership in the Masons here in Indiana. And I guarantee you, I'd probably have the same issues no matter where I was in the U.S. I can't speak for other countries, but I can speak for Indiana. I look at what they're doing and I'm like, you're idiots. You're completely out of touch with what's reality of what's happening to you. And you keep trying to do the same stupid things over and over again to get enrollment up.
You think here's a thought, with real Christianity, they would get more people?
Well, I think that you got a lot of problems there, right? Because I can't imagine the two worlds ever being compatible.
That's what I'm saying. Getting rid of, because I seen one, it's a church. It's a Masonic church, and their meeting is church Sunday morning.
I would be very concerned about that. I would love to sit in there.
There's like a couple thousand people are in there.
Yeah, and that's concerning, right? Because it's supposed to not be a religion. Yeah. But I just read to you the words of Albert Pike. It clearly said this is a religion.
Yeah.
He didn't make any bones about it, right?
Yeah.
And that's just the thing, is I think the Catholic Church specifically, like, my buddy who got me in is fond of saying they don't like competition.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this was, right? But here's why hearing that is so hard for me to imagine, because you would have to rip so much of it out that it would cease to exist.
Yeah.
I get where you're going, but I think ultimately we should already have what you're trying to catch at church, but we don't.
But men in church don't.
No, because if we were really strong brothers and sisters in Christ and we were rooted in Christ and we made God and Christ first in our lives, we wouldn't need things like Freemasonry or the Knights of Columbus or the Knights of Pythias or any of these things. So
it's a fascinating thing.
Yeah, it's really sad because I looked around and one of the things that I thought was like, man, if some of you guys were as committed to your faith as you were, what you claim your faith to be, because the vast majority of these guys are Christian and claim to be Christian, right? Man, if you were as committed to Christ and the church as you really were Freemasonry, how strong we would be.
Yeah.
Because some of these guys are fantastic leaders, man, and have great hearts. And there's dogs. There's always dogs in any organization. Yeah. Right. There's always guys that are like, oh, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay. We're brothers and all this and that, but you're a jerk. And I don't want to spend time with you outside of the lodge. I wouldn't go out of my way.
Yeah.
But I'm watching. Yeah. I watch this imbalance and I watch this okay. Here's a good example of how violating of that 24 inch gauge teaching. Cause if we're not going to do our own teachings, then what's the point of any of this?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous,
same,
right?
Same with the church.
Exactly. If we're not going to live the Bible, if we're just going to check a box on Sunday, then we might as well just burn the church down.
Yeah.
Because it's all it's good for is kindling.
Yeah.
And God wouldn't be ashamed of it. He'd probably be glad that you thin the herd.
Yeah.
And in order to be grand master of the state of any state, okay, because I can't fathom it's any different in any other state than Indiana, but I'll just speak for Indiana because I know Indiana. In order to be Grand Master of the state of Indiana, you literally have to fundraise for 2-3 years before you're going to be Grand Master, because you know you're going to be Grand Master unless something really crazy happens that you...
So they tell you.
Yeah, because what happens is you get in a line, you get in a succession line, and it's structured very similar to how a lodge is structured, because when you go into the lodge, there are 7 main stations in the lodge, okay? You've got the Worshipful Master, who's in charge of the lodge. You've got the senior warden. You've got the junior warden. Those are the big 3 that are mainly in charge of the vast majority of the duties of the lodge. But then you have a secretary who's also extremely important. You have a treasurer. You have a senior deacon and a junior deacon.
Yeah, deacons. Huh?
Yeah, deacons. Exactly. And each of those have different roles depending on what chair you're in. You have a different job. But it's really the 2 wardens and the 3 wardens. The 2 wardens and the Worshipful Master. The head of the lodge.
Worshipful Master. That's an interesting name.
It is. A lot of it goes back to Old English and stuff. And it, for me, that's not one to get too hung up on.
But I just find
it. Yes, it is. It is interesting. But yeah. But what happens typically, you're not locked into this, but typically what will happen is if you're junior warden, then next year you'll be senior warden. And then the next year after that, you'll be Worshipful Master. So you rotate through the chairs.
Okay.
And a lot of times, even prior to being junior warden, you have gone through some of like probably the deacon seats or something of that. The treasurer and the secretary are typically someone that's probably more than likely a past Worshipful Master because of the nature of the job. You need to know how the lodge works.
Yeah.
And like, we had a fantastic secretary at my lodge and he's a fantastic dude. Love the dude. A great guy. The Grand Lodge that runs the state is similarly constructed where they will do that rotation and it's by invitation. Mm. It's like a club where you invite the next person into the rotation. And then they have some of those other job duties like the 2 deacons and stuff like that. And then the treasurer and there's a Tyler as well that would watch the door. Some of those are just like whoever is going to be the Worshipful Master for the year will invite those guys, but they're not part of the rotation. Okay. So the main rotation, you're going to know several years in advance before you're the actual Grand Master of the state of Indiana. Like the dude that is now sitting in effectively the junior warden's chair will be the Grand Master in 2 years.
Okay.
He knows that. So he'll start fundraising ahead of time because you're going to need that. And there's no way I'm gonna make this clear. There is no way that if you were the Grand Master in the state of Indiana, that you are going to be able to hold full-time employment. You are going to be way too busy and you're going to be traveling way too much. It is not possible. You're going to spend tons of money and you have a full schedule. You're going to be doing all kinds of stuff. You got to buy clothes.
What?
Oh yeah. You got to buy like,
okay, yeah,
formal wear. And there's a lot of stuff that you got to, there's a huge monetary cost for you.
Yeah. I knew somebody that was in Job's Daughters and she was whatever the equivalent of that for Job's Daughters.
See, there you go. There's offshoot organizations to Freemasonry as well. Right. Cause then you've got,
and she invited us to a dance at the Scottish Rite building.
Yeah. You got the star. Cause that's like the women's branch. Yeah. Right. And I forget the full name of it, but the
Eastern Star.
Eastern Star. Thank you. Yeah. You got the Eastern Star. And then you've got like the junior version. My dad, I found this out. I didn't even know until I became a Freemason. He was like, oh, you're a Freemason. I was in the De Molay.
Okay.
Which is named after Jacques De Molay, who they burn at the stake. Yeah. He was the Knights Templar, head of the Knights Templar when I think it's the Catholic Church and the French government decided they didn't want to pay back the Knights Templar. Yeah. So they just decided to persecute him and burn him at the stake.
Yeah.
That's the story. And so De Molay would be the junior version of Freemasonry. So you get indoctrinated as De Molay.
It was weird. The whole thing was weird.
Yeah, but it's crazy because you can't be in De Molay. You can't be in De Molay after the age of 18, I believe, but you can't become a Freemason until 21. I think I misspoke earlier and it's 18. I said 18, but I think it's actually 21.
Yeah, that dance, there was a prayer.
Strange, right?
It was strange because it didn't mention God, didn't mention Jesus. It just mentions mom and dad and the Masons. And they even said something about the Scottish Rite.
Yeah.
Since we were there. And there was Templars there.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing was really neat.
It is.
And you're taken in and you're like,
you are. And because you went to you said you did it at the Scottish Rite.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, that building is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And it is
beautiful and creepy at the same time.
Yes. But the architecture of that building and the intricacy of the masonry work and stuff is unbelievable.
I know.
So I would encourage anybody, you can do tours of that building, go ahead and do a tour. It is really phenomenal.
It was like we figured it was our only chance to get in to see it because we always wanted to see it. And we're like, what better way to get invited to a dance?
It's so funny because most of the things they've really changed. Like things are pretty open.
Yeah.
There really hasn't been anything that I've shared today for the most part that I think anybody would really take exception to.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple things that I shared that maybe crossed the line a little bit, but nothing that they would really go, oh my gosh, that was awful. I can't believe it. Now they wouldn't like the fact that I was not talking well about them. Then I'm saying that I think if you're a Christian, the two are not compatible.
No,
they're not. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian and you're listening to this and you're a Freemason, take it from another Freemason, a brother, that some of these things that I say, examine your heart. You know them to be true because you've been through it yourself. Like we have a shared experience here.
Yeah.
You probably maybe made it further than I did because I was only there 18 months. I started a podcast to try to support this. So I literally had to walk out of all this stuff.
Yeah.
It was not comfortable, you know?
I know,
but ultimately if it doesn't jive with my faith and it doesn't shine positive light on God and Christ, I'm out.
I'm going to tell you something. I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again. I was talking to a guy and he said, anybody like you that's willing to walk away from his job for his faith is somebody that you need to hang around. And this guy's walked away from his job, from the Masons, because his faith is full of integrity.
I appreciate it, man. That means a lot.
And it's like, the more you're around Kyle, the more you love him.
Come with me to Lodge, Ben. Now that I fooled you.
No, thank you.
No, it's not good. And I appreciate that. It's very kind. And ultimately, that's just what we got to do when you turn your life over to God. I'm telling you, and it's scary, but it is scary. It wasn't necessarily hard for me to leave the Masons because I hadn't been in that long.
Yeah. And we talked a lot about it.
I still had guys that I made friendships with and brothers there. And the thing that I realized though is this, I'm like, why can't we continue to have a bond of brotherhood outside of why does it take a magical club for us to be in? Like, It doesn't. The vast majority of you boys are claiming to be Christian. Yeah. Like, that should be our, isn't that a good enough club?
Yeah, it's true. Do you think the people all the way up at the top, you think they're going to go to heaven?
Oh, yeah. That's always a tricky question because we're supposed to judge the fruit, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I think even some of what I experienced, because I was doing a podcast, right? Yeah. I talked to a guy that was a former grandmaster on one of our shows. And he genuinely seems like a good guy. So I think that there are guys that are just, I think that they are probably not super strong in their faith or not strong enough to realize what's going on. And because if you're pretty strong in your faith, you got to ask yourself some really deep and honest questions. And I would think that if you really started doing that, especially the further up you go, you're going to see more stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to really pause and look back and go, yeah, that's probably not good.
Yeah.
So if you're having some of those genuine conversations with yourself and you've climbed to that level and you're looking back down the line, I would think that you're going to see a lot of things that you're going to have to go, man, that's not good.
Yeah.
That I was a part of that, or I agreed to go through that, or I agreed to say that, or I agreed to do that, or whatever. So I don't know. That's a very difficult question because I think a lot of these guys are, you know, they claim to be Christian, but a lot of people claim to be Christian.
Yeah.
I don't even like the term Christian anymore, to be honest with you. I like
Christ. It's so generic.
We've ruined it. Let's face it. We've sullied it so bad that it is extremely generic.
Yeah.
And we have Christians. I always joke that I call them chinos. Mm-hmm. You know, we call Rhino like a Republican in name only. Well, I think we got a bigger problem. And the problem is the chinos.
Yeah.
Christians in name only and churches in name only.
Yeah.
You know, because when you start sacrificing God for comfort, and allowing things into your church and allowing people in leadership positions in your church that have no business being in leadership positions because they're not living God's word, we got problems.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me because that's that we've weakened the faith to the point where a lot of these guys are never going to see what I saw.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're strong in your faith, there should be some things that you see that when you have to look, take an honest look, because I had to, right? I had to take an honest look in the mirror and I had to examine my feelings. Like, I've never felt settled about this. Why do I not feel settled? One, that's the Holy Spirit talking to me.
Yeah.
That I realize now. But I dismissed it before because there is so much bad information and false truth in the world that is not accurate of what is of I experienced in Freemasonry. That it's easy to dismiss those feelings, right? Because you're like, it's just the noise of the world in your ear hole telling you it's bad.
Yeah.
On the counter side, another reason that I dismissed it was a lot of these things that I'm experiencing in the teachings that I'm experiencing and the way they're being taught using scripture to do it in a lot of instances is good.
Yeah.
Right? So that's a counterpole, right? So you're in this taffy puller. And then for me, having my grandfather, who I have no doubt I will see again someday. Okay.
Yeah.
Be involved in Freemasonry. I couldn't reconcile how my grandfather, who is this extremely strong rooted Christian. Now I will say that I never saw my grandfather go to lodge the whole time I was growing up. So maybe he had walked away and because we never really talked about it.
Yeah.
I wish I could go back and have some conversations and maybe he would say no, because I got to this point and realized it wasn't good. So you shouldn't do it. But you get all these things together in the stew and then it's, man, you don't know what the truth is.
Yeah.
And I had to really just listen to that still small voice. That's cliched too, but it's very true of this. Why do I go through these times where I just don't feel settled about this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had that friend come to me at one of those times where I was in a valley and struggling with this. And he came to me and he's like, you need to listen to this. So I did. And I'm like, okay, well, I gotta look into this because this is not good. And when I did, and I found what I just read to you and various other things, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah. And when we first met, you said you were amazing and it surprised me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then my mind is, I better be careful of what to say because against it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but I never did.
Yeah.
Brattled up or anything. It was just like, I don't have a problem. Your character spoke more than anything else.
Yeah. And that's the way it should be. But I'm telling you, ultimately, I share this story today because we've talked about maybe having this episode for a while, and I think I just needed to wait a little bit, and I wasn't quite ready to do it. But bigger than that is, it's a form of occultism.
Yeah, I was getting ready to ask that.
And I'm going to say it's a form of occultism because one of the other things is that has stuck out to me now that I look back in retrospect – is one of the things that you're constantly seeking is more light. And when you take that and you look at it through the lenses of an Albert Pike while he's writing that, we're talking about Lucifer.
Yeah.
The bright morning star. That's what Lucifer means, yeah. Right? Light. And you have references in the Bible to Jesus being light, but then also Satan being light.
Yeah.
And the reason is he's a counterfeit. That's what Satan does.
Yeah.
He counterfeits everything. And that's what occultism is based on. It's based on, because what is a counterfeit? It's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie designed to look like truth.
Yep.
That's what a counterfeit is.
And that's why they probably use scripture. And
yes. And that's how Satan works. He's the master of lies. He's the architect. Right?
Yeah.
The master architect of lies. He's a liar and a murderer.
Yeah.
That's what Christ's words were, right?
From the beginning.
From the beginning. So when you look at it through that lens, a lot of times what I now see that I was asking for was I want to be more indoctrinated into light. I thought it was God.
Yeah.
But I think what it really truly is Luciferianism.
Yeah. And then you said you had to do like a play of a murder.
Yeah. So like your master Mason degree is you are Hiram Abiff and you are murdered.
Yeah. Liar and a murderer.
Bingo. So they murder you.
Yeah. From the beginning.
Yeah. Pretty much. Third degree. And again, you know, I'm sharing more now than I normally, would probably, they'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you shared that. Well, like, I don't care now, but you can go see this.
You can see this.
It is
disturbing.
It's a secret camera the guy snuck in and you can see it. And that's Arizona.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter if it's Arizona or Illinois or Timbuktu or Indiana. I'm like, that's a Master Mason degree.
Yeah.
And the whole point of that is there's lessons that go along with it, but you're slowly, without your knowledge, especially if you are not really rooted in your faith, Christian faith.
Yeah.
You are slowly being indoctrinated into Luciferianism.
Well, let's think about this.
And it gets worse and more.
Like I said upstairs, it's the same stuff that Lucifer offered Jesus in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Food. The world.
Yeah.
And power.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because when you get into some of the, one of the things, at least in Indiana, they could be different in other states, just for clarity.
They brought you in with food.
Yeah, exactly. What better way to have fellowship with one another than to break bread?
Yeah.
But beyond that, like alcohol is not allowed in the lodge. But that's why a lot of these guys will go to some of these other organizations because it is okay. Like the Grotto is known as the party wing, where you can have alcohol and you can do some of these other things that normally would be frowned upon in the lodge. So you let your quote unquote hair down a little bit when you're a little bit more here, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But when you're coupling it into what I've already talked about, you could see how this is just that much more of a slippery slope, right?
Yeah.
When you look at Freemasonry, it's just one form of Satan trying to pull you into occultism and Luciferianism and satanic activity. And some other things that we've talked about, like Bohemian Grove, which if you're not familiar with Bohemian Grove, and granted we're running out of time today, but if you're not familiar with Bohemian Grove, that is actually where only the elite are invited. I think every president since, I don't even know when, has been.
I would say if you're on a TV screen or a movie screen, you're there.
If you're a big deal, you've been invited to Bohemian Grove. And you can speak more to Bohemian Grove than I can, but they literally do this mock sacrifice of a big wooden owl, right?
Yeah. The owl's name is Moloch.
Yeah, which...
from the Old Testament.
Boy, that's not scary at all, is it?
Yeah. I will say... I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. Is that okay?
Yeah, I know.
This whole show is
kind of name of the show.
So I'm putting it on right now.
And nothing I shared was tinfoil at all. That's like my experience.
No, but this is how my mind works. Zach Brown, everybody probably knows who Zach Brown Band is. Mm-hmm. He gets invited there to Bohemian Grove. They sacrifice this.
Now, who invited him? Maybe Buffett.
Maybe Buffett. Maybe somebody else. Hmm. Who knows? But I know he got invited. I know he was, because I seen something where he went. They burned this owl effigy of Moloch. He has an album come out called The Owl. He gets in trouble. He gets brushed under the rug a little bit. Nobody knows. You have to dig to find out what happened. His music's changed. People don't like it. It's almost like you sell your soul. Mm-hmm. You do these rituals. You sell your soul. Then you're part of the cog that is working the system of occultism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just keep pumping out the stuff. Then that's the sad part. Like, people think, oh, it's just a thing, but it changes you.
No, it does, because it's all designed around Luciferianism and to pull you away from God.
Yeah.
So that you can lose your soul.
Yeah.
He wants to destroy as many souls as he can for eternity.
Yeah.
Because he knows that's all he can do. He wants, his number one and only mission is to hurt God as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because he knows he can't win. So he wants to, and the only best way to hurt God is to destroy us. Yeah. And to specifically destroy our souls.
And what better way to get entertainers to drag people away?
Well, money and power.
Yeah. Money.
Because those two things are what accompany all of these people. Yeah. The commonality between all of them is money and power. Because fame, you throw fame in there, but that just equals money and power.
Yeah.
Right. Fame is just a way to get those two things.
Yeah.
Because once you become famous, whether you're a YouTuber or whatever, money and fame are going to be what follow. Right. And it's, that's why, what did Christ tell us about a rich man?
Yeah.
It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven.
Yeah.
Does that mean money's bad? No, it's not. What happens to people, it's, who said it? Was it James? The love of money is the root of all evil? Wherever that was. In New Testament, the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, it's not money, the love of money.
Yeah.
What it does to you.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, if you're not rooted in God.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, there are rich people all throughout. Like, David was rich. Solomon was rich. Abraham was rich.
Yeah.
These dudes were incredibly wealthy. But they also had a heart for God, so they used it for good, not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times that maybe not. But
Joseph.
Yeah, right.
Second in the kingdom.
Bam. I'm like, he had everything he could ever want.
Yeah.
He's the second in the most powerful kingdom on the earth. Come on. So, yeah, I'm like, the love of money and what it does to you. And you can see what it does to these people. One of the other things we had on the list today, because people would not tie this together, but I'm telling you, it fits. And that's what's going on with old P. Diddy right now.
Yeah.
When you go look at what's happening with him and what's going to continue to come out with him, it's almost a carbon copy of what happened with Epstein.
Oh, yeah.
They're finding this dude that, and tons of people have come forward. Cat Williams, yeah, that dude's seen some stuff. I'm not sure what to make of that guy. But he's been accused of trafficking drugs and trafficking weapons and trafficking people.
Yeah.
And when you look at all these things, occultism is, and all of these type of things are tied together.
Yeah.
They're not separate from one another. Because that's what happens is you see all these signs that these people throw up, whether it's athletes or artists or these famous people, they'll throw up all these like triangle signs and, you know, all these occultish signs, like the little three, the 666 symbol looking through the eye and things.
Did they do that? Did you guys do any of that?
No.
So all that little hand stuff?
None of that stuff.
Huh.
It's different. Like, man, listen, you know,
I'm just
typically, like, when you're just a regular dude, how do you get, when you're just a working Joe?
Yeah.
And you work your whole life and you invest your money, which God tells us to do.
Yeah.
Because that's why stewardship, right?
Yeah.
You typically diversify your investments.
Yeah.
Satan does the same exact thing when it comes to stealing souls and killing us.
Yeah.
He does. Diversifies his approach.
Yeah.
And you have all of these different groups, whether you're going to Bohemian Grove or some crazy like that we started off talking about, the video where the dude is invited to some party. Who knows where that's going, right? Or Freemasonry or any of these things. It's pick your poison. How can I get you?
Yeah.
Spin the wheel of misfortune.
Yeah.
Here's your poison. That's how Satan operates.
Yeah. Slowly.
He's patient.
Chipping away.
Absolutely. He's patient. He's very patient.
Yeah.
He's got
an eternity.
Right. Granted, but the other thing too is he doesn't have to be, let's face it, it takes a much longer time typically to get someone to go down the road of faith than it does the road of debauchery.
Oh yeah.
Because we are wired for sin.
Oh yeah.
Because of what happened to us. and where we come from. We are pre-wired for sin. That is our natural gravitation. And I hate to say that. Yeah. Christ told us this, right? So that's what you have to have a change of heart so that you can fight against that natural urge. Because let's face it, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you're naturally like never going to sin again.
No.
That's the goal. Don't want to, but you're going to sin, right? Unfortunately. But the whole thing that you're trying to turn away from that because of the way your heart's changed and where your focal point is.
Yeah.
And that's just the thing is you look at the world nowadays and it's the world is doing nothing but help these people fall down in these holes.
Oh, it's right in your face.
Go drink, go have sex with whoever you want. Yeah. And nothing is hardly off limits at all.
Even the goats.
Poor goats. Yeah. There's some crazy stuff out there.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
I mean, it's,
and that's the thing too, is he mixes complete nonsense in with a little bit of truth and some full truth. And like when you have all these things thrown into the stew, how can you tell what's real and what's not?
And that's what I would always, when we first started, I was always, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I don't know. I've never been to a meeting. I don't know what goes on there. That was the way I looked at it. I was like, that was something that didn't bother me at all.
Here's the thing. And I used to say this all the time and I still would, because I would encourage any one of you who I guarantee, you know, a Freemason, I can guarantee you got someone in your family or around you close that is probably a Freemason. Okay. And you're going to know more than likely, you're going to know who they are. Go ask them questions and ask them whatever you want. I would encourage you to do that, no matter how crazy it is. Because one, they'll talk to you. They will talk to you. Because one of the things that I know that every Freemason that I talk to, and myself included, is we wanted to clarify for people what was accurate and what was not.
Yeah.
And there's so little that you can't quote unquote share with people when you're a Freemason. It's so minimal nowadays, okay?
Because of the interweb.
Yeah, and they just become more open because they're trying to get that enrollment up. But here's the thing. Use some of what I've said today when you start talking to them about obligation is a great one. Yeah. Use some of that. Well, what do you think about Albert Pike had to say? And use my words. Have them go look it up, because I guarantee you most Freemasons are going to be like, what? Albert Pike said that? They don't know. They don't know where they came from. Just like Christians don't know where they came from.
No, we don't.
Well, that's one of the things that we like to do on the show, is to try to highlight for people where you come from, where your Bible comes from, where your faith comes from. Like someone out there that's a Southern Baptist, I don't want to have nothing to do with the Catholic Church. Well, bad news.
Yeah.
You're like the offspring of the Catholic Church. I'm sorry about you, but that's just the truth.
Yeah.
And you've got things that are attached that you don't realize that are from them.
Yeah.
So ultimately, all these things tie into occultism, human trafficking, all of these things, they all tie together because it's all Satan.
Yeah.
It's just a way to get you in the door. And then obviously, once you're in the door, then we can really pull you under.
Yeah.
Right? Once you've decided that you're going to go take those steps and we've got you indoctrinated far enough, and then we've thrown you some money and we've thrown you some power and all the fame and things like that, and the recognition, man, it's just so much easier for him to just pull you right underneath the water.
Do you think, like, when music came really big, well, I'll say the Beatles and Elvis and that, do you think that they were offered the same thing as people are offered today? Or do you think it's more blatant in your face, Satan doesn't care?
I would think there was probably some elements of it back then. But I think it was probably much, much more veiled than it is today.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's veiled today, but it's so thinly veiled.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have, nobody like does anything.
Thinly dressed.
Nobody, yeah, exactly. But nobody does anything.
Yeah.
Look what our government gets away with, and nobody does anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just put something up the other day. I'm like, I had to literally, my wife is planning on going a couple states over on a trip here in a couple months, and she was wanting to take her handgun. And I literally had to go, because I had to go pull up a map.
I wondered why that was.
Yeah, I had to go see, like, what states, it's called reciprocity map, what states will honor our gun laws.
Illinois and I'm like, won't. Texas will, I think.
Yeah, Illinois is the only one around us that you'll have problems with. Thankfully, not a problem. But That's a violation of our Constitution.
Yeah.
Openly, blatantly. That's a violation of our Second Amendment rights, but we don't do anything about it.
No.
We don't do anything. And it's like that with everything. That's a whole other, that's a whole other episode. But the occultism and the trafficking and all of these things, the trafficking of the things that Diddy's involved with, okay, that are accused of being involved with, or Epstein, or whatever, whoever these people are, you have gotten so far in and you have been pulled so far under the water.
Oh, yeah.
That you're willingly going along with it. And the other thing, too, is you have embraced it and you have to have the fame, the money, and the power, because that's what your soul has been. You've been completely Satanized.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what your soul needs now.
Oh, yeah.
And your value of human life has become so depleted that you are more than willing to be a pawn for Satan.
Oh, yeah.
Like when I look at Diddy, I don't see a powerful man.
No.
I look at a Satan-filled little psychopath.
My kids didn't so even know what? Who he was.
You got a bunch of money. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Have fun in your eternity.
Yeah.
I'll think of you while I'm having a Mai Tai in heaven. I'm like, actually, I won't think of you because I'll be so focused on enjoying my eternity.
Yeah.
With Christ and with God.
Yeah, it's so weird that all the worship of these Old Testament gods too is returning.
Oh yeah,
it's as in the days of Noah.
Yeah,
all of these fallen beings, and that's what it's like. That's all it is, and they are returning.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's through all of these avenues, right? Satan is a very diversified attacker.
Yeah.
We've got more than just him that's attacking, right?
Yeah.
Because, like you said, these gods, they're not make-believe.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Thanks for letting me
in. No, I've been wanting to...
You probably got more questions, which is fine. Hey, and the thing is, too, if anybody's listening to this and you have questions, send us an email.
Yeah.
Send us an email. thedudes@thetfhc.com. Send us an email. I'll answer you.
Yeah.
But by all means, have a conversation with your Freemason cousin, father, brother, sister. Well, it can't be sister. Well, she could be in the...
Job's daughters or Eastern Star.
So yeah, the ladies, unfortunately, are getting pulled in too.
Yeah.
The ladies, you're just as susceptible. We talked about Taylor Swift early on.
Yeah.
But Disney and all these things, man, I'm telling you, it's rooted in occultism.
Oh, yeah.
Satan is hard at work to destroy us.
Yeah, but this is his...
I don't know if Satan's harder at work or we're harder at work destroying ourselves.
And it's easy.
Yeah, this is easy.
Yeah, this is easy. You idiots are easy to spin.
As in the days of Noah.
As it was in the days of Noah.
All right. Well, with that, we will bid you adieu until the next time on The Foil. Take care. Bye.
Home.